Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. I need the whistlers to help me. Come on, you can do it. It's okay. And if you know it, sing along with me. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Good job. Be happy. All right, more from this side. In every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Nicely done. Thanks for having some fun with me this morning. Well, that's the sermon for today. What? Jesus said, don't worry, so don't worry. Be happy. Amen. If only it were that easy, right? A recent study by Liberty Mutual Insurance revealed that 2 out of every 5 Americans worry every single day. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I bet if I did, almost every one of us would have something that we're worried about right now. And many of these worries are real concerns. Health, work, finances, loved ones, relationships, housing, education costs, caring for children, caring for aging parents, insurance, the economy, the state of our nation, terror in the world, maintenance in our own home, retirement, death, and so on. I'll bet you could add to the list. So how could Jesus tell us not to worry? Our church has been learning from Jesus by reading through his Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew 5 through 7. With each of Jesus' teachings, he helps us redirect our focus away from things that rob us of life and towards that which truly gives us life. And I want to explore that good news with you today and how we can apply it in our own lives. I invite you to open up your programs and pull out the yellow sheet that says Sermon Notes and Response Card. There's a spot on there where you can jot down helpful scriptures and ideas from the message. And then I'd love to hear what you feel like God is calling you to do in response so we can pray for you and support you on the journey. And now if you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we come here this morning from so many different places with so many different things on our minds and on our hearts. And so we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I gained a deeper understanding of what Jesus meant when he told us not to worry on a recent trip to the Morton Arboretum with my family. If any of you have been to the Arboretum lately, they have a new exhibit called Troll Hunt. It's the coolest thing. A Danish artist built these giant wooden trolls throughout the Arboretum and created a map with clues to help you find them. And my family found this gigantic troll lying out in the field. This particular troll was designed so that kids can climb in its mouth and climb all over its body. Here's a picture of my 10-year-old son and my 4-year-old daughter in the troll's mouth. Now, my son wasted no time climbing all over the rest of the troll's body. My daughter, however, was a little more hesitant. The troll is really big, and she's really small. Understandably, she got scared and worried about falling. So I came up on the troll with her so that I could be close and help her every step of the way. I held her carefully in my hands, guided her along, and she was doing fine until she took her eyes off of me. She looked down and saw how far the drop was beneath her, and she panicked. She froze and started to shake and whimper. I leaned in and I said, "Look at me. Your daddy's got you. You're going to be okay. Just keep your eyes on me and follow my lead." When she looked up, she calmed down. She relaxed into my hands and let me guide her. And with my help, she was able to navigate the challenging terrain and even enjoy the adventure. And that little moment with the trolls gave me a better understanding of what Jesus meant when he told us not to worry. The word that Jesus used here for worry is an English translation of the Greek word merimnao. It literally means to be divided or distracted. Think about my daughter on the troll. She was fine as long as she was focused on me and our journey together. But then she got distracted by the challenging circumstances around her. Her attention got divided. She took her eyes off of her father and focused on her fears. And that's when everything went south. The worry loop in her head got bigger and bigger until fear dominated her thoughts and drove her behavior. And just like my daughter, I think all of us can get distracted by the challenging circumstances around us. Our attention gets divided, and all of a sudden we take our eyes off of our Heavenly Father and focus on our fears. And that's when everything goes south. The worry loop in our head gets bigger and bigger until fear dominates our thoughts and drives our behavior. Have any of you ever been there? I sure have. It's not a fun place to be. Jesus is right. Worry can't add an hour to your life, but it sure can rob you of your life. Worry wears out our mind, damages our health, disrupts productivity, negatively affects the way we treat others, and reduces our ability to trust God. I think this is why Satan uses worry as one of his primary strategies to divide and distract us. Because if he can get us to focus on our fears, then that means we're not able to focus on our Father or on the faith journey that he's leading us on. There's one other important thing that I want to show you about the word Jesus chose for worry. This really helped me, and I pray it will help you too. The word merimnao is a verb. I don't know if you remember your grammar lessons, but a noun is a person, place, or thing. And worry can be a noun. In that sense, it's a thing. We can have a worry. So there might be a challenging circumstance going on in our life, and we have a worry. Or a fearful thought might pop into our mind. We have a worry. Now, if Jesus told us not to noun worry, we'd be in big trouble, because we can't always control our circumstances or even control the thoughts that pop into our head. But that's not what Jesus said. Merimnao is a verb. It's an action. It's something we actively do. He's telling us not to actively worry. Merimnao actively rides the worry loop. Merimnao focuses on fears to the point that we allow it to distract us and divide our attention away from God. We can't always control our circumstances or thoughts, but we can control our actions. And Jesus tells us not to verb worry. And Jesus used two illustrations to redirect our focus: birds and flowers. Now, I'm so analytical that I've always focused on the meaning of the illustration and missed its subtle brilliance. The other morning, I was taking an early morning walk. And as I was walking, the birds were chirping and they were flying around. Colorful flowers were in bloom. The whole scene was soothing for my soul. Just looking at birds and flowers has a natural calming effect. Here's a clip from our opening video. Take a look. Jesus is brilliant. I mean, he tells us not to worry, and then he has us look at things that naturally calm us down. But there's more to his brilliance. Jesus is redirecting our focus away from the worry that robs us of life and toward the one true giver and sustainer of life. The very same God who feeds the birds and clothes the flowers, Jesus explains. That same God is able to care for every one of our needs if we will simply look to him. Do you remember my words to Addison on the troll, my daughter? I believe God wants everyone listening to hear him say these very same words to each and every one of us. God comes close to us like I came close to her on the troll. God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to earth to be with us so that he could defeat the power of sin and death and anything else that could ever separate us from God. And God sends his Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in Jesus so that we can have access to his help, love, truth, and power. We don't have to worry because we have God. And I can just picture God leaning in close and saying, "Hey, look at me. Your heavenly Father's got you. You're going to be okay. Just keep your eyes on me and follow my lead." Because it's when we take our eyes off of God that things begin to go south. Jesus said the eye is the lamp of our body. Do you know that you see what you look at? If we're looking only at our fears and our troubles, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see darkness. But if we're looking at our Heavenly Father, The light of his loving care floods our soul. And this isn't always easy to do, especially if we've developed a bad habit of worrying verb. But the best way to break a bad habit is to replace it with a good one. Jesus knew this. He's so brilliant. And so he gives us a better verb to replace worry. The verb is seek. In Greek, it's zeteo. This is an action verb. It's important to know this because I think sometimes people misunderstand Jesus' teaching as something that's passive, as an excuse to just kind of sit back and do nothing and wait for God to give us a handout. That's not what Jesus is teaching. God does have a handout for us, but it's his own hand reaching out for us, inviting us to seek him. And rather than wasting our energy on worry, God says, invest your energy in seeking me. Jesus attaches an incredible promise to this verb. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I like how this verse is worded in the New Living Translation. It says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." When we seek God first, God promises to take care of the rest and give us everything we need. What a promise! I want to live into that promise, and I'm sure you do too. So let's briefly look at three ways that we can seek God first. Number one, we seek God first in our trouble. Jesus said not to worry about tomorrow because each day has enough troubles of its own. All of us deal with troubles in our life, and we have a choice about what action we will take when trouble hits. We could worry. We could focus on our fears and allow them to distract us and divide our attention away from God. We could turn to unhealthy coping mechanisms rather than turning to our Heavenly Father. We could try to figure everything out ourselves and only turn to God as a last resort when nothing else works. We could do that. A better approach, though, is to seek God first. The moment trouble hits, we seek God first. We take a deep breath and remember that we are in God's hands. We rest into God's presence and we ask for God's help. Many of you know that I deal with skin cancer. It's a real trouble. Sometimes, I'll be honest, I get scared and I worry. This past week, I had a moment of panic. But our scripture encouraged me to seek God first. I took a deep breath, and I mentally got off the worry loop. I said something like, "God, I know you got me. I trust you. I know you can help me through this." When we seek God first, God doesn't promise we won't have troubles. We do. But he does promise that we'll have all the help we need to make it through whatever trouble we face. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." We seek God first in our trouble. Next, we seek God first in our time. Each day has troubles of its own. So it's pretty important to begin every day by seeking God first. When Jesus was on earth, he got up early every morning to spend time with his Heavenly Father before the day began. If Jesus needed this, then we're silly to think that we can get by without it. I was talking with one of the people from our church this week who told me they were feeling disconnected from God and overwhelmed, wondered what was wrong. After a few questions, I found out they had stopped spending time with God every day in prayer and in scripture reading. No wonder they felt disconnected and overwhelmed. It's incredibly lonely and exhausting to try to live life on our own. But we don't have to. We have a God who loves us and is with us to help us every step of the way. And this is the God who invites us to seek him first every morning. So before we open social media, before we watch TV, before we listen to the news, before we check email, before we get on with our to-do list, God invites us to seek him first, to lay our burdens in God's hands, to rest in God's presence, to talk about our concerns with God, to learn from God's truth, to listen to God's direction, to be surrounded by God's protection and filled with God's power. Why would we ever want to begin a day any other way? And if you don't have a routine like that, jot me a note on your response card and I'll share some helpful ideas on how to get started. In addition to seeking God first every morning, God invites us to seek him first every week. While Jesus was on earth, he gathered with others every week for worship. And ever since his resurrection, believers have been gathering on the first day of every week to read, pray, sing, give, respond. Often people will come up to me after worship and they'll say, you know, that particular song or scripture or prayer or point in the message, it was just what I needed for the week. I'm not surprised when they say that. That's what happens when we worship. God meets us right where we're at and gives us what we need for the faith journey. Why would we ever want to start our week any other way? We seek God first in our time. And then third, we seek God first in our treasure. Jesus challenged us to consider where we're storing up our treasure. Worry leads us to store up treasure on earth. So I just want to take a moment. I see someone. Is everything okay? Okay, good. All right. All right. Let's turn our eyes to prayer. If we have any medical people, I invite you to come forward to help. And for the rest of us, let's turn our eyes to God and pray. Gracious God, we pray for Hazel. We know that you have her in your hands. We ask you to heal her body, give her strength, provide us with the wisdom to take care of her, so that she can be restored to health and wholeness. We pray your blessing over Hazel and trust her into your care. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I give thanks for our wonderful ushers and welcome team and all the first responders who are willing to care. Could we just give thanks to our great servants who are here? And that reminds us just, I mean, how fragile life is on earth. And Jesus challenges us to think about where are we storing up our treasures? Worry leads us to store up treasures on earth, right? We worry that we're not going to have enough, and so we try to store up as much money and possessions and pleasures as we can on earth. But that's not a wise or a lasting investment. I was at a funeral just last week, and it reminded me again of how temporary earthly treasures are. When we come into this world with nothing, and we leave this world with nothing. And so people who seek God first, we strive to store up treasures in heaven. That's why the author of our first reading encouraged us to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. That's how we store up treasures in heaven. Because think about it, ultimately, it's only the things that we do for God and the lives that we impact that have an eternal, lasting value. And so people who seek God first, we strive to leverage our money, abilities, love, and touch to help build God's kingdom and impact others with the good news about Jesus. That's how we store up treasures in heaven. And God promises that when we seek him first, in our trouble, in our time, and in our treasure, he will take care of the rest and give us everything that we need. Before we close, I wanted you to hear a testimony of how some of our members are living into this promise. Would you help me welcome up Pete Ranieri? The Ranieris are celebrating their 10th anniversary as missionaries. It's pretty exciting. And Pete, thanks for your willingness to share. You said you've learned and grown a lot over these past 10 years. And so a couple of questions so that you can share some of that learning with our congregation. Now, we're asked to have faith in God. But Pete, you told me that what really blows your mind is that God has faith in us first. Would you share more about what you mean?
Yes. Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. We're missionaries in France now. But faith, and I have my notes here, so that's always good. Faith for us, Angie's in the worship center right now. Faith for us is a conversation that we're having with God. Some days are good, some days are bad. Some days I don't listen, and that's rough. He called unqualified people. We were sitting here in the fourth pew 10 years ago when he started calling us. He called us to Honduras first. We're sinners. I'm divorced and remarried. I mean, why would he call us to do his work? But faith. Our faith started off infant. It was like, hi, God. How you doing? Okay, good. So we keep on moving along that path. And we got called in a great ministry in Honduras, and we served there for 6 years. And then all of a sudden, our faith was growing. The ministry was growing. God is doing awesome work in these areas. And our faith grew, too. And then the next chapter, we heard God say, church plant France. And once again, it's like, seriously, what call us? We have no training. We're not pastors. I was a cop for 28 years, and my wife was a real estate agent. Why would he call us?
How neat that the God who asks us to have faith in him has faith in us and calls broken, sinful, imperfect people to be part of the exciting work he's doing. And God promises that when we seek him first, that he'll take care of the rest and provide for our needs. How have you seen God back up that promise, and how did that grow your faith?
He's backed it up each day. We live on donations. We live on prayer. And every day, through the jobs that we did, through the tasks that we needed to do, he was there with us. We couldn't do anything on our own, but we thought we could. And the change took place between the earthly faith, and then we moved into the spiritual faith by praying to God and say, okay, we planned as much as we can. Angie and I are planners. We like to plan. We are worriers. But we changed our worry from the earthly worry to saying, okay, God, you got this. And he did. When he called us to church plant in France, it was like, okay, now what do we do? France is just a different animal. France is a different country where there are realistically no believers. And that's what we work in now. Mm-hmm. So backing us up, the cool part is January we found out the church we are going to in France is closing. And how can you close a church in France? There's hardly any. But then it started to take place in my mind. Wait a minute, we're here. Mm. He called us to church plant in France. Now we have to do that.
That's cool.
September 9th, we're hoping to open, and we're not going to worry about it. Nice. Who's going to preach? Who's going to do children's? Who's worshiping? We're not going to worry about that.
Nice. God's got it.
God's got it.
I love it. You confess that even as missionaries, you struggle with storing up treasures on earth. What motivates you to store up treasures in heaven, and how do you try to seek God first?
Because it's through faith, and it's knowing that God has us. He's fed us. He's given us houses to live in. He's given us great areas. it's just been amazing through this point to watch that, to watch our children grow up, to watch everything, and then all of a sudden move out of Bolingbrook, selling everything, giving things away, and going to Honduras with 8 suitcases and 2 9-year-olds in the picture. And then moving out of Honduras, selling everything again, and about that time I finally got it. Everything I bought was being sold or given away. And what did I have left? I had my faith, I had obedience, I had my wife, I had my family, and he's had us every step of the way that we've been in ministry. So we're blessed by that.
Amen. Well, thanks. Can you thank Pete for sharing? I hope you take some time to have follow-up conversations with the Nearies this morning. Now, I don't believe that God calls every one of us to serve as missionaries in foreign countries. But I do believe God calls every one of us to serve as missionaries in whatever location God has placed us. He calls us to leverage our money, abilities, love, and touch to build God's kingdom and to impact lives with the good news about Jesus. And we can live and give generously because we know that God's got us. He'll take care of us and give us more than enough for all that we need. And we have a great opportunity for our church to live into this promise. Today we are launching a new initiative called Serving in the Summer. It's part of our 2020 vision to grow in generosity over the next 20 months. And so 2020 vision, the first season is Serving in the Summer. We want our community, surrounding community, to experience God's love through the hands and feet of our church. Inspired by the 2020 number, our challenge is for 2,020 people to serve in the community this summer between July 8th and September 9th. Now, it can be as simple as helping a neighbor in need or as involved as planning a service project. Any act of service counts. So here's how you can participate. If you go to the homepage of our website, click on the Serving in the Summer box. There you can read serving ideas. You can add your own ideas to our calendar. There's a spot where you can apply for seed money if you have a really big serving idea. But here's the most important thing. There's a spot on there where you can tell us your story. And we ask that you would please tell us your serving story before September 9th. That's how we will track towards our progress and celebrate what God is doing. And you have a card in your bulletin that says Serving in the Summer. This is for you to give to the person that you serve so that you can remind them that they matter to God and they matter to us. Now, I hope you have fun with this initiative during the summer and experience the joy of storing up treasures in heaven. But more than that, I hope that you experience the good news of Jesus' teaching, that as we seek God first in our trouble, in our time, in our treasure, God will take care of us and give us everything that we need. The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You can use the code at the top to fill it out on your phone. I'm going to give you a few moments with God, and then I'll close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we face troubles in our life. And sometimes we get distracted and our attention gets divided away from you. God, forgive us for those times when we actively worry. May our scripture for today stick in our brains and remind us to seek you first. Seek you first in our trouble. Seek you first in our time. Seek you first in our treasure. May we hear you say your words of assurance. May we seek you first so that you can take care of the rest and give us all that we need. And God, bless this church and your people so that we might always reach and transform spiritually distracted people so we all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.